Welcome to the Rare Hour with Christopher Villona. Please join us as we talk about the rare disease journey. We'll discuss the who, the what, and the why of rare diseases and the special needs community. We'll also reflect on the highs and lows of some of these awful conditions and how they affect us on a daily basis. We welcome you to the Rare Hour, and just know you're not alone. Many of us out there are struggling just like you. So sit back and listen, cry, and laugh. Today on the Rare Hour with Christopher Villona.
Rare diseases claim the lives of children, teens, and adults. And while most people wait for a cure, they have nowhere to turn. At Project Sebastian, we offer a community group support system to help you deal with many emotions, questions, and uncertainty. We realize that connecting with other families is challenging but essential to this journey. We provide group meetings and counseling to connect with others struggling like you. Please visit us today at www.projectsebastian.org to get in touch now to find the support you deserve. Project Sebastian was created by a father whose son is terminally ill from a rare disease, so he understands what it's like to travel down this lonely and fearful road. Project Sebastian. Hope. Honor. Heal.
Okay. Hey, everybody. This is Christopher Villona with the Rare Hour. And today we have a really great guest, something that I've never really done. I've never really interviewed any authors that I can remember doing this podcast for a long, long time. And I just wanted to just touch base with the listeners about what's coming up. If you don't know, you can always go to projectsebastian.org for the updates, but we're basically going to be having our third annual Rare Warrior Run, and that is June 1st, which is held in the city of Santa Clarita. And you can always go to the website to register under the events tab. So get ready to run for a great cause. As you know, we do a couple of fundraisers every year, and this is one of that's become really, really popular here. We're doing an all abilities half K, a 5K, and a 10K. So there's a race for everybody. Come out and enjoy some great vendors and some great time, some hot coffee and some bagels, of course, and bring your kids and family because it's going to be a really great expo area with local vendors from all over the place inside the city of Santa Clarita. So just wanted to give that little shout out to you, and we're going to get to the show right about now. I have a really cool guest. Her name is Gina Mundy, or Mundy. I'm trying to remember, this is how you sound. Are you there, Gina?
I am here.
Oh, great. Well, welcome.
I know your audience can't see me, but I'm smiling.
That's good. We were talking about the phonetics of the names. A lot of people butchered my name too. So welcome to the show, Gina. How are you?
I'm doing great, Christopher. Thank you for having me. I'm excited for our conversation today.
Me too. I just was looking over some really great talking points about you. And if you let me just tell the world about you real quick.
That would be awesome.
All right. So Gina Mundy is an attorney specializing in childbirth cases. For over the last 20 years, her focus has been investigating and analyzing mistakes that arise during the labor and delivery. She has spent countless hours meticulously scrutinizing childbirth cases, conducting interviews with delivery teams, and thoroughly examining medical records to gain an in-depth understanding of every decision made during the labor and delivery process. Throughout her career, Gina has traveled nationwide, engaging with healthcare professionals such as doctors, nurses, and midwives to explore every aspect of this beautiful process. These interactions have provided her with invaluable insights, enabling her to appreciate the diverse perspectives of that are prevalent in different regions of the country. Today, we're going to talk about a parent's guide to a safer childbirth, which is why Gina was here. So We hope that this little podcast will help explain a little bit more about Gina's topics in this book and to help parents avoid some great mistakes that we all have made during the childbirth process. So once again, thank you, Gina, for coming on. Did I get that right?
Yes, that was a good, very good description. I don't even know if I could add to that.
Well, we can add to, you know, why did you want to write this book, Gina? And can you tell us the topic of the book and the title of the book and where we could find the book and did it drop yet and all that good stuff?
Oh, sure. So just so your audience, I do want to touch on one thing. Just so
sure.
We understand, when we talk about childbirth cases, which I have now worked on for 21 years, these are legal cases involving the birth of a baby when something goes wrong and baby is not born healthy. Moms may pass away during childbirth. Sometimes the baby will pass away. So these are the cases that, you know, now I've worked on for 21 years. So basically, I took that knowledge that I've had. I was 19 years deep into my profession of seeing these mistakes, analyzing these mistakes, and I decided to write a book to help parents have a healthy baby and avoid these mistakes, you know, that I've seen now for 21 years. Because the mistakes that, you know, I got my first case, actually, let's back up. My first case was February 2003. And the mistakes in February 2003 are very similar to the mistakes that are occurring, you know, more recently. So they are definitely common, reoccurring, you know, mistakes. So instead of basically getting involved in the aftermath of something going wrong, I wrote this book to get involved before childbirth, again, to help parents avoid these mistakes and have a healthy baby. And the name of the book is A Parent's Guide to a Safer Childbirth. And subtitle is Expecting the Best and How Using the Power of Knowledge Can Help You Deliver a Healthy Baby.
Wow. So the one thing that was glaring in your speech there was that the fact that you've been involved since 2003 and the mistakes are still happening in 2024. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
How is that possible with technology and research and teachings and, you know, people learning these mistakes? I mean, is that something that can't be corrected?
I don't know. That's a great question. I wish I had the answer. So basically in writing this book, I write the book to parents and I'm like, okay, guys, this is what I have seen now for 21 years. So instead of going to the medical professionals, you know, and whatnot, I'm like, I think the answer lies with the parents, not the medical system, and giving parents the information they need to know to help prevent these mistakes and complications. So chapter 11 of my book is super unique. You're not going to find this in any other pregnancy book. And that is the top 10 most common facts in a baby case. For instance, number one most common issue in a legal baby case is a drug called Pitocin. This is a drug that's used to induce a mom's labor by making her uterus contract, her body follows the cues, and then she's supposed to deliver her baby. So most of my cases, for instance, involve that drug. So now I'm like, okay, parents, I mean, because I've said to doctors and nurses over the years, you know, I don't like Pitocin. And they always look at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, listen, as an attorney specializing in these childbirth cases, Pitocin is in almost all of my cases. I am not a fan of Pitocin. And they're like, Gina, Pitocin's completely safe. So
that's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, what's wrong with this drug?
Right. So here's the deal with the drug. So across the board, and listen, Pitocin, if you're an expecting parent or you know somebody who may be undergoing a Pitocin induction, Pitocin can be administered safely. I will agree with that 100%. The problem is that different doctors, different nurses, different hospital systems administer the drug differently. So it can be safely administered. It's just how some people are doing it. So it's very important now. So parents understand Pitocin if there's a complication, if there's a mistake, and a baby is not born healthy, typically Pitocin's involved during the labor of mom. So now parents know that. So then we go, okay, so here's all the information you need to know about Pitocin so you can work with your delivery team and have a safe induction. So for instance, Pitocin is a very individualized drug, meaning how I may respond to it is completely different than how someone else may respond to it. And unless you've been on Pitocin before, nobody knows how you're going to respond to that drug. So for that, because of that, you know, I like these, you know, if it's medically okay, you know, got to cover your butt. If it's medically okay, you know, a slow and steady approach to Pitocin is definitely better, in my opinion, based upon what I've seen for 21 years, than a more aggressive approach where, you know, they're turning it up pretty quick. They're increasing it pretty quick because nobody, again, knows how your body's going to respond.
Is this the drug that's paralleled with the term inducing labor?
Yes. So if you're going to have an induction of labor, this is mm-hmm. the drug that's going to make that happen.
I'm sorry, I'm a man, so I have a lot of questions because I'm not a woman and I don't know what to go through. I witnessed the birth of both of my children. It was pretty crazy, intense, but amazing, you know. So are you a mom yourself, Gina?
I am.
How many children do you have? You have three?
Three kids. So my oldest is 19, so she's a girl. And then I have my middle daughter. She's actually almost 16. And then actually, I'm sorry, my 19-year-old turns 20 tomorrow. So let's just 2016, pretty much. And then same thing, my son is 9 right now, but next month he'll be 10.
Well, happy birthday. There we go.
No, right?
So I guess the obvious question is, you know, you started having children 20 years ago. Did you have any problems with your birth of all three, or was everything smooth sailing? I mean, why get into this as an attorney? Did something happen to you as well?
Interesting. So when you asked me that question initially, why did I write the book? Basically, I did not tell you that story. But no, my deliveries were fine. Basically, as a childbirth attorney, we have a hard time doing labor. So we tend to do elective C-sections, and it's only because we can't unsee what we've seen, unknow what we know. We can't like relax enough to have, I think, a vaginal birth. Maybe some can. I know the people I know, we all had C-sections. Now, my first one, though, was in 2004, elective C-sections. They were still looked down upon. So my doctor was like, Gina, well, let's try a normal birth, vaginal birth. But I woke up in hardcore labor, and I think they sectioned me within a few hours. So they were like, yep, you're right. You can't relax. So anyway, but the actual reason, it wasn't that anything happened to me actually it was March 17th, 2 years ago. It was my niece. My niece was pregnant with the first baby of our next generation, and she had a very scary birth experience. I was 1,100 miles from her that day. It's actually, this story is the introduction to the book, but I was 1,100 miles from my niece Sam, and this is my daughter's oldest. And basically, it was 5 o'clock, March 17th, and my phone rang, and I expected to hear the good news that, you know, the first baby of our next generation was born. And instead, it was one of those moments you'll never, ever forget where you were. I was in my kitchen surrounded by my kids, and I answered my phone, and it was my sister hysterically screaming, "The baby crashed, the baby crashed." And I ran away from my kids because I didn't want them to hear their Aunt Kelly, because, you know, we're all excited for baby. And I sat outside then on my porch, and I listened to her cry hysterically, and I started to do like a legal analysis of what had gone on during her labor. You know, my childbirth attorney brain kicked in, but as I sat and listened to my sister cry, I went from like this legal analysis to a human analysis, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is how the families feel, because over the over the years, I've always had to sit down and talk to the families, and they describe this transitional period, how they were before baby and how they were after baby. And just, you know, I'm like, this is how they feel, and wondering if this is what my family was, you know, in the middle of. And then we were lucky enough to get the good news that the baby actually was going to be okay. And so, but I was, again, 1,100 miles from Sam that day. My girls are getting older. I'm like, what if I'm not near, you know, my kids when they go into labor with my grandkids? And I can tell you how I prepare my kids for childbirth, given what I've seen, is completely different than how a normal family would prepare for childbirth. So basically after that day, I started to write down everything that I knew that I wanted my kids to know about childbirth, and that all of it was like floodgates opened. And I realized I actually know a lot of stuff that could not only help my family, but could help a lot of other families have a healthy baby.
Wow. That's a pretty powerful story. I guess that was the inspiration behind helping others. You use the word crashing. Are you saying that the baby was a stillborn, and did it survive? Did they revive the baby? And was this a result of what your book describes as these problems?
So a lot of times my niece was undergoing a Pitocin induction. And what happens is that drug will, you know, contractions suck. Okay, I know you don't know that you're a guy, but they suck for mom. Seriously, they suck for mom because they're very painful, and contractions suck for babies because what happens when mom contracts is the baby's in the uterus squeezes down on baby, and baby doesn't get any oxygen. Okay, nobody freak out. That babies are made to handle contractions. It's 100% completely normal process. The thing with Pitocin is, when there's Pitocin, it's creating artificial contractions. So again, if you increase that drug too fast, your mom's body will start to contract too much. And if you just keep squeezing over and over on baby, then, you know, at some point, you know, baby just can't handle anymore and they may crash. So, you know, contraction, doctors describe it to me as when the mom's uterus contracts, it's very similar just to going underwater for the baby. And then when the contraction releases, then baby can breathe again. So, you know, I'm not sure. I wasn't there at that delivery. But basically, when a baby crashes, they're talking about the baby's heart rate. So a baby can, again, only handle so much. Just can't imagine, you keep going underwater. I mean, what's going to happen to your heart rate? Yeah. You're going to get stressed, and you're going to get to a point where you can't handle going underwater anymore. Your heart rate's going to decrease. That's very similar to the baby crashing. And then when what happened is the baby crashed. So all hands on deck. She was luckily at a bigger hospital where they could get the baby out definitely more quickly. And then, a lot of times then babies have to be resuscitated and whatnot. But again, it's babies are made to handle, you know, labor's hard, contractions suck. So babies are made to handle that. They can usually, hopefully most of the time, you know, come back from something like that, but obviously not always. And that's typically what happens when there's a legal baby case.
Nice.
If it goes too long with baby crashing.
And how is your niece today?
Good. Good. She's great. Actually, you know, it's very interesting. So I write this book. So I'm like, okay, Sam, this is everything that you need to know. Cause she actually got pregnant again pretty quick. This is everything you need to know for your next baby. I had her read it before it was published. She went through it all. And then she actually had her second baby in the ambulance. She waited too long. And I'm like, really? I write this book for you? And my kid, you know, whatever. And
wow.
You have your baby in an ambulance? Yeah.
Wow.
It was interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah, you hear about people having babies in cars and ambulances, and, you know, I have never, knew of anyone that have lost a baby or has had these problems. Then again, you know, really not in tune as a man. But it's nice to hear that there are people like you that are advocating for the parents. I remember, you know, when you first announced that you're going to be a dad, and you and your wife or your spouse at the time, like, they get that book, What to Expect When Expecting, right? And I remember reading that book every night because I wanted to be so prepared. And I got to tell you, I wasn't prepared when that child came into my arms. It was crazy. It was so different than the book. And like you said earlier, everybody's experience is different. And do you feel that your book is different than most books out there? Because it deals directly with this possibility of, like, death?
Oh, my book is 100% different. There's nothing else like my book out there. But, you know, one thing that does distinguish my book, if you had read it when you were, your wife, ex-wife was expecting, you would have been, I think, more prepared to be there for her, you know, during labor and delivery.
I would have been more terrified.
Yeah. Or maybe you would have been, or maybe, you know, terrifying. I associate that with fear. I think fear is more of the, you know, the unknown. So,
oh, yeah.
The way I to mean, over.
That's overcome. That's another podcast topic, fear. And I definitely
fear and the unknown.
Deal with that shit on a daily basis. Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, Gina, I got to ask you, is this your first time writing a book?
Oh, yeah. Definitely my first time writing a book. So I know I'm supposed to be writing book number two, and the first one was so overwhelming, makes my head spin.
How long did it take you to write a book from beginning to end? Like from like conceptualization, like, hey, I think I'm gonna write a book, to like it's out for everyone to sell or to buy.
14 months. 14 so months, thousands of hours. I get up. So, you know, great, wanna write a book. Great. Well, I'm also a partner in a law firm. I have three kids. I'm married to a very busy business owner. It's the thoughts there, right? But then you got to make it happen. So basically right after that thought, I figured out that basically the social life went out the door, and I started getting up every day at 3 a.m. So, and actually to this day, actually I ended up liking the schedule. So to this day, I still get up at 3 a.m. and I'm in bed usually by 7, 8. If I go to bed any later, then I got to take a nap during the day. But no, it's not easy, let me tell you. And when you're creating something that, you know, that's not out there, you know, it's difficult because, you know, you're trying to take what's in your brain and be like, okay, I know, you know, this is what parents need to know. But like you kind of said earlier, you know, you can't terrify a parent. You can't scare them. A lot of my hours spent was on how to communicate what I know in a non-scary way, because this book is a book that could make a difference, you know, to a family. I'll tell you, the hardest part of my job is the day I sit down with a family and I have to go over the day their baby was born, the day they lost their mom. It's hard. It's really hard. And as a mom and wife, you know, maybe soon to be grandma, you know, it's really hard. Usually those days I don't do much else those days. So, but you know, hoping to write this book and spare other families from enduring what these families have suffered, what they'll always suffer from, is it kept me going.
Wow. So from one event to having this shock of an idea, is like, I better write about that. I think I could help people. And it took a little bit over a year. And how long has your book been out now?
June 2023, it came out.
Yeah. Hey, did you get any good write-ups, any bad write-ups? How are people receiving your book?
I know. Every so often I log on to Amazon and read my reviews. Amazon, I think, is 4.8 stars, and I have already like 430 reviews. But no, people are like, thank you, thank you. They've been great. Obviously, I have a couple of nitpicking bad ones. But, you know, again, I wrote this book initially for my kids. This is like, if I'm not around kids, this is what I want you to do. And I know you'll have a safe, you know, delivery. Because also, you know, I say, okay, Pitocin is common when there's a complication or a mistake and a baby is not born healthy. But this is what you need to know and do to make sure, again, it doesn't happen. So every issue I may identify, it's problem solved. So even to anybody's circumstances.
So your book is only available online. It's not like paperback anywhere.
Oh no, you can buy it on Amazon has paperback, hardcover.
Oh, I see.
But right now, yeah, it's still just available on Amazon, and then eventually it's supposed to be in other places. But of course, again, me busy trying to, you know, do the supposed to be doing.
I can't imagine you doing a book tour with your busy life. And like they say, we're going to write a book, and then you get a publisher, and then you do a book tour, and you do these signings, and you do these like these little talks with all of your little book fans. Is that something that you're going to be doing soon, maybe for book two? Or have you done that yet?
No, I probably won't do that.
No.
No, I don't have time. But like I told you before the podcast, I'm clearing my desk of my case. So I have all these medical records everywhere, and I'm setting up to jump on a podcast, and then I'll close it back down, open my case up for another meeting.
Are you getting more cases because of the book?
I would say the same.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm definitely coming out as the baby lawyer expert. But you know, it's interesting. A lot of people don't know that, you know, my profession exists. I stumbled on my profession, and that, you know, and probably the scariest part of my profession is that when I was hired in February, 2003, I was hired into a team of baby lawyers, and there were over 20 of them. And this is all they did were baby cases.
Wow.
So
I didn't know there was a category.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm like literally a childbirth attorney, and basically it's what I've done now for 21 years. So Wow. Yeah, that's the thing. And they don't teach you about this in law school.
Yeah, college, I was just going to ask you about that. Is that somewhere in the textbooks? No.
No, I was supposed to be a real estate attorney.
Oh.
And then no. I needed a first job out of law school, got a job at this firm. They had a real estate department. I was going to do this for a year and shoot over there, and I never left. So
see,
I wanted to make sure that, well, once you figure out that what exists and what can happen, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, what I was seeing didn't happen during the birth of my kids either. So
that's for sure. And everyone's happy and healthy.
They are.
And you had all three C-sections, or?
I did. Yeah.
Because couldn't relax. And you didn't want the Pitocin.
Right. Yeah. No. So back in 2004, so my friend who was a baby lawyer, I literally wrote this in the book. She was getting her elective C-section, but in 2004, to get an elective C-section, one of the ways was to tell your doctor that you had literally you had herpes. And I was like, nope, I'm not doing that. So he waited a little bit, but then sectioned me.
Wow. Okay. So you're this amazing lawyer. You're a great mom. You are a supportive person in your marriage, and you're helping others find a different way to deal with childbirthing. And it seems that I'm looking at your bio, and you can help people become an author as well. Yes.
Hey, listen, first of all, thank you for the kind words. I really appreciate those words more than you know. In terms of the author part, listen, writing a book was never on my radar ever. And so it's like I had my aha moment, and then I figured out slowly that, you know, I had information that could help people. So yeah, if you know, even if it's not on your radar, if you have something that you know, or even, I'm telling you, even like parents can write great books about helping other people. You know, it's like I've thought about writing a parenting book, except I don't know that I'm the best parent, but you know, just, hey kids, you know, maybe know this or, you know, but yeah, if just, I just
but,
would always.
But people can come to you. Is that a service that you offer in your like very limited spare time?
Oh, no,
no,
no, I don't know. No, 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 no. But I would, I've talked to a lot of people who have wanted to write a book, and then I tried to direct them, you know, from start, like if you're going to do this, you got to commit, you got to figure out your time. You know, I don't charge anybody or anything like that. But if somebody's had their aha moment and they do want to write a book, you know, to help somebody or help people in the world, then yeah, I've sat down with them and been like, these are my mistakes. This is what I've learned. This is what I did right. This is what I did wrong. And, you know, help guide them the best I can.
That's really cool. That's really different. You know, most people are narcissists and self-centered when they become popular and famous, and they don't want to help anybody. It's really different to hear that you're just available for everybody. So let me ask you this. Where can we find you? You know, how can we find Gina Mundy? I mean, are you all over social media? Can you plug your own social medias for our audiences?
Oh, sure. So the best place is always ginamundy.com, GINAMUNDY.com. I'll tell your audience a secret. If you go to the bottom and it says email Gina, it literally goes to my phone. So if you need anything, I'm here. So, but Instagram is probably my biggest social media outlet. It's at Gina Mundy. And then in terms of Facebook, it's Gina Mundy, author. And those are probably my two biggest ones. I should be more on social media, but I'm working on it. Like I'm a lot of other things.
I'm on Gina Mundy on Instagram. I'm going to follow you right now. I'm following.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to check out, your reels and your books and all the stuff that you're posting here. It looks pretty cool. Looks like you got a lot of stuff going on here. Is there anything else you want to discuss today? Like, why would we go to like ginamundy.com? What do you offer there? Is that just to promote the book or is that something else?
So ginamundy.com will direct your audience or whoever on how to buy the book. So no matter what's going on, if someone's listening to this 2 years later, they can go to Gina Mundy and know how to buy the book. And then I also have a blog on there. So I have, you know, I'll be sitting there and I'll be like, oh, I should have included this in the book blog. So then I'll do like a blog post just to get that information out there. And then I also have chapter one of my book on the website, which is huge. Chapter one are all of the lessons from the baby cases. These are the lessons, you know, basically as a lesson, you can learn from it to prevent it from happening in the future. But that chapter is very, very important. So I have that up there just for free for people to read. And then what else? I am working on an expecting parents resource page. Because I have ran into so many great people that are out there trying to educate families, trying to help families and whatnot. I'm a huge fan of doulas. I've never had a doula in a childbirth case because I do believe they are helping to bring babies safely into this world. So I'm trying to get some doula contacts up there that can help families. So yeah, there's other resources. I mean, the only thing for sale is my book. Basically, and that just directs everyone to Amazon.
I'm on your site now. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool site.
Thanks.
Pretty much easy to navigate. You also have a podcast, it seems, yeah?
No, I don't do my own podcast. That's just podcast. If people want me on as a podcast.
Ah, I see.
Just other things, just like the things I can talk about, the ways that I could educate their audience just on the different things.
Wow. That's very cool. That's very cool. Do you have any questions for me?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Go you ahead. Ready? I know. This ahead. Is so
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
So it's interesting with my job. I ask the questions. So
I know.
Doing these podcasts has been very odd for me to answer because usually I'm the one asking.
You're probably chomping at the bit. So go ahead.
All right. Let's see.
Yeah.
Why did you start the podcast?
For advocacy. And I wanted to be famous because I thought that I could be famous and get more advocacy out there to help my son. And everybody has a podcast and why not me?
I love it. I love it. So you did it for your son. Ultimately, it sounds like you did it for your son.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I hate it and I love it at the same time. I don't. Yeah. It's hard. You know, at the same time, it's easy. You're just talking, but it's like you want to have the correct narrative. And then you have critics and then you have fans and then you have family. And the three of them never are cohesive. So it's frustrating, but I do it not as much as I used to. I used to do it weekly and then monthly and then like quarterly. And now it's like, you know, if somebody contacts me, like you did, I'll be happy to put you on the air, so to speak.
I love it. Do you plan on doing them more frequently moving forward?
It's uncertain, Gina. Every day is different here and every day I'm grateful. My son, Sebastian, who is suffering from a horrible terminal illness, takes up 99% of my day. The other 1% is reserved for my other son and my girlfriend. And I'm back in school, doing addiction counseling, been sober 28 years, did that as a distraction from this life, and fell in love with the chemical dependency side of our brains. So I don't know. I mean, I won't say yes, I won't say no.
Yeah, I love it. Well, and then the people who love your podcast, what do they say?
They're mostly people in rare disease who appreciate the candor, who appreciate the raw, you know, like the Rare Hour and then Rare Thoughts are two completely different platforms. You know, I, on my Rare Thoughts, I just do an emotional dump. I am very vocal. I'm very angry. I will be not for, you know, anyone over 18 should be not listening. So, you know, I mean, under 18.
Yeah.
I just, very raw. So those people really enjoy it. They enjoy my social media posts about, you know, what's in your face. You know, I'm not, first of all, there's not a lot of dads out there that are doing what I'm doing. And the few are amazing, but it's mostly a female driven category for advocacy, in this space. And it's hard to kind of like compare myself to these amazing women, but I am here and I'm just doing it differently. And, you know, men, we're fixers. We're not emotional. And so I'm breaking the stigma, breaking into mental health awareness as well. And, you know, just being real, you know, this, like you said, you know, childbirthing sucks. So does rare disease. It sucks. And I don't wish it on anyone. And I try to bring some semblance of realism. And it's not necessarily negative, but, you know, hey, here's the situation. And here's possibly a solution, or here's another group that you can go. I'm a big advocate for resources as well.
That's awesome. And I got to say, I'm really proud of you for not swearing.
I'm so wanting to, but I can't. Thank you.
I know. I know. I like it.
I'm growing up at 54. Who knew? Gina, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate you spending your morning with me today. I definitely will be plugging all of your socials on how to get in touch with the book and how to buy the book. Of course, you can go to Amazon.com. You can go to GinaMundi.com. You can find her on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. And we're going to put all the socials in the show notes so that you guys can just link really quick to get a hold of Gina or get a hold of her book. Obviously, for you new moms that are coming out, you probably want to read this. And so you don't have to hire Gina in the afterbirth section. So I appreciate you, Gina. Thank you for joining us. And I look forward to maybe another show with you or maybe another book. So thank you again.
I love it. Thank you, Christopher, for having me. All your kind words. And you know what? Thank you for the work you're doing too and doing this podcast. So I know for a fact you've definitely helped a lot of families. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you for that. And just the work is never done, as you would say. Always trying to learn, always trying to teach, always trying to help. You know, I will tell you this. I tell this to all my guests. Be gentle with yourself, Gina. Be gentle with yourself.
It's like you know me so well.
I don't, but I see it and I feel it. Yes. Yeah. All right. Till next time, guys. This is Christopher Avalona with The Rare Hour, and we appreciate you listening. See you next time.
In today's challenging world, addiction is on the rise. Over 22 million people are suffering from substance abuse. As these numbers continue to rise, it becomes more difficult to find answers. At CSG Consultants, our sober coaches will offer you a path of solutions to help you find sobriety. With over 25 years of experience, we share a passion for helping others just like you. Whether you're looking for a rehab, sober living, counseling, or just a conversation, CSG Consultants can put you on the path to recovery. Visit us on the web at consultingwithcsg.com or call us today at 877-96-SOBER and start making your sober steps today.
Join us for Project Sebastian's Rare Warrior 24 race on June 1st at Heritage Park, Santa Clarita. The action begins at 8 a.m. with the All Abilities Half K, followed by the 5K and 10K races. Proceeds support rare disease families that are struggling through their journey with support groups and counseling. Stick around for the free expo featuring local vendors and a silent auction. All are welcome to run, support, and make a difference. Mark your calendar for a day of racing and community spirit.
Thank you for joining us on The Rare Hour with Christopher Vallona. We appreciate your listening. If you have a story or want to talk about your journey, please reach out to us at info@projectsebastian.org and put Rare Hour in the subject line. We hope to have you on the show. You can find us at www.projectsebastian.org, on Facebook at Project Sebastian, on Instagram at ProjectSebastian1, and on Twitter at GagaVProject. Don't forget, you can find us on the Clubhouse app too. Just search Rare Disease.